down from his glory. Never living story. My God and Savior, my God and Savior King, and Jesus, Jesus was his name. Born here, he was born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, grief, and anger. Oh, oh, how I love it, I love it. How I adore, how I adore him. My bread, my son, my bread and my sunshine. That in the dead of night, not one single faint hope inside. God gracious, he was precious and so tender. He laid aside his splendor, stooping to him to say. Oh, how I love him, how I adore, him, my bread and my sunshine, my only in all the great Creator, he became my Savior. Flesh and blood is substance. He took the form of man. He revealed the hidden plan. Oh, gracious, oh, glorious mystery. Sacrifice on Calvary. And now I know the one, the great. Oh, how we love you, Lord. How I adore him. My breath and my sunshine, my only. My all in all, the great Creator, he became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in me.
I mean, saints, we do greet you this afternoon, saints, in Jesus' name. I'm really glad to be in his house. It's wonderful to come to fellowship with him. Now, I do realize that we human beings are people of routine. We're people of habit. The moment you change time, it knocks a lot of people off their schedule. So we do appreciate everybody who's come on time today. But I do see there's quite a few people haven't managed to make it. So let's hope next month people will settle more into the routine. We just found that for children, for everything like that, for people traveling, at starting earlier, communion Saturday would be far better to help people to prepare for Sunday. So that's how we've been trying to move it forward over the last couple of months, but we'd like to keep it at this time. Keep it at 4 o'clock. I think it would be fine. So I want to greet Brother Andre, Sister Liana. I'm sure they were greeted on Wednesday. God bless you. It's nice to see them. Let's open the Bible, saints. Let's really fellowship around His Word before we come to the Lord's table today. I just want to speak something maybe close to the heart. Instead of speaking down the line of communion, it would maybe fit in a little bit more with foot washing. Speaking more down the line of the body. Let's open 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a familiar communion scripture, but you want to take it just down a different line. We'll read what Paul said from 29 to 30. 1 Corinthians 11, 29 and 30. Paul said, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." We'll take our thought from that phrase, not discerning the Lord's body. We want to speak on discerning the Lord's body. And he says in verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." You know, so there's always a law of cause and effect. And there was a certain effect in the lives of many, Paul said. It wasn't just a few people. He said many are weak. That means feeble or impotent. People were subject to feebleness spiritually. And he says, many are sick and weakly among you. Why? He says, failing to discern the body of the Lord. He says that was the reason. Let's also read Hebrews chapter 11. We'll get onto this by the grace of God. Hebrews 11 verse 31, it's speaking about Rahab. And we really see the secret of Rahab's deliverance and the secret of her coming to her adoption. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 verse 31, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." That was the real, real attribute of what brought about everything in her life that became new, was she received those spies in peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you upon this day. We thank you, Lord, that you can gather in your house. We thank you that you can gather in your name. And Father, we just long and we desire upon this day as we'd come to communion that your grace would be amongst us, Lord. Father, we just long, even at this time, that you'd break every fetter of the enemy, Lord. Any work that he would desire to do. Father, any spirit of slumber, Lord, any other spirit, Lord, that would desire to come upon this day, that, Father, your grace and that your mercy would visit every soul, that you administer an entrance to us, Father, unto that place of victory, to that place, Lord, of fellowship with you, to that place where the vision is clear, to that place, Lord, of, Father, renewed purpose, Lord, to that place where you minister momentum once again to the souls of your sons and daughters. And Father, as we examine your word upon this day, Father, how we need your grace. Lord, Father, how many times the prophet prayed it and said, we can open this book. But Father, it needs your mercy to open our understanding, Lord. And that's why we come unto this place. Prayer has been made for them, Lord, that have put prayer requests upon this day. We dedicate them up unto thee. And Father, for the rest of your people, we bring them up unto thee, Lord, even upon this day, praying that you'd minister grace and mercy. And them that couldn't come this day, that you'd bring them in the new day, Lord. Father, won't you help us now in this thought, how we long to come to your table, Lord. Father, having been raised up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, how we desire, Lord, just to have the supernatural atmosphere around our souls, Lord, that, Father, these things may not be a duty, that, Father, these things may not be a tradition, but, Father, that this might be something that, Lord, would be pleasing to you and pleasing to us. That, Father, as we'd go from this place, Father, something would have changed, something would have happened. Amen. That, Lord, as we'd be in our cars, as we'd be going home, Lord, Father, we'd be in a different atmosphere would be our desire. And, Father, that you'd grant us that grace, and even as we'd gather tomorrow, Lord, that you would, Father, just take us from glory to glory and build us from that place. Father, we look into thee upon this day. Bless your word, bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. The prophet in the message, what does thy hear? He says one thing. He says, friendship is a gift of God. Amen. That's a real, real important thing. True friendship is a gift of God. Amen. To a believer, genuine friendship is ordained. It's a predestinated gift of God. And God in his economy has ordained us to walk with certain people at certain times. God brings certain people into your experience at certain times to minister to you at that stage of your experience. And that is one of the greatest gifts that God can give you, is to minister people, brothers and sisters, into your experience just at the time that you need them. Because God has promised to meet his people at the point of need. He said he will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. So whenever you have a need and you're seeking grace for your need, one of the most effective ways that God has of ministering to that need is to bring somebody into your sphere at that time, to bring two orbits together. Because God is still in the business of bringing things, orbits of the heavenly bodies together at certain seasons and certain times, like it was in the days of the Bible with the wise men. God still orders and ordains paths to cross at certain junctions to signify certain things and to bring forth certain results. Now, that is what God is so good at. But I think this is one of the most underestimated and one of the things which we have appreciated the least as brethren is how much God grants us grace by putting us in a body, by putting us surrounded by brothers and sisters and people that can be used of God, can be moved of God at certain seasons and certain times to minister directly into our experience. Because as many times we're on the ash heap, there's many times we're needing the Lord to minister divine energy. We're needing the Lord to minister unction to us. We're needing the Lord to minister a renewed vision, whatever it is, to give us momentum once again in our spiritual lives. And the Lord's, one of his most favorite ways of doing that is by using his body, by bringing you close to someone and bringing someone close to you and using that person. But so many times you look at the veil that God has used or that God wants to use, and we despise what we call the day of small things. It's not the day of small things. No matter how God deals with us, as long as the supernatural is dealing with us, it's a great day. Because there's 6 billion people out there and there's very little supernatural dealing with them. Yet God has granted us grace that on a daily basis, we're dealing with the supernatural. And the supernatural is dealing with us. And if you're sincere in your soul, and I'm sincere in my soul, God is going to minister to us at our point of need. God is going to bring help our way. Grace to help in time of need. That's what he promised. But sometimes you're looking up in the heavens and we're expecting this great angel to come down. Sometimes you're looking all around, we're expecting the Red Sea to open up. God does do that. But generally speaking, God is going to minister to you in far simpler ways than that. God is going to hide himself in simplicity and reveal himself the same far more regularly than he's going to suspend the elements and do great things like that. But sometimes we're expecting God to work in a certain way, not realizing that there's God with skin on him all around us. And God with skin on is going to minister to us if we'll just discern the body of the Lord. If we'll just understand God's ways of dealing with us. But I've seen this. I've seen believers get weak and sickly in the experience, yet they're surrounded by people that could minister to them in that situation. But because of pride, arrogance, many different reasons and purposes, they do not allow the Lord to minister to them in the situation that they are. Because they're putting these conditions upon God, that Lord, if you're going to minister to me, you must do it this kind of a way. I wouldn't be foolish enough to do that. I would desire to be humble enough and wise enough to leave it in the hands of God. Exactly the vessels, exactly the processes, exactly the channels that he's going to use to minister to me. Because the most important thing is that he ministers to you. The most important thing is that help gets through to you when you need help, not how the help is going to come. But sometimes we're not under an expectation in this kind of a way because we're looking far off. We're looking for this, that, and the other when sometimes God is far closer than you think. Help is far closer. Help is right next to you today, sitting on your left and sitting on your right and sitting in front of you and sitting at the back if you would just discern the body of the Lord. If you would just recognize how God wants to deal with us. And that's why the prophet says that friendship is a gift of God. There's something about friendship. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, in the very beginning when God made man, let's just read verse 18 again. We know the verse very well, but let's think of it in this context. Genesis 2, verse 18. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Now, friends, you can be in church and still be alone. That's where the problem comes in. You can be in the multitude. You can be in the convention. You can be in the midst of a revival and be dying alone. Because this isn't speaking of being alone just physically. God didn't say, Adam, look, you're only. Adam had all the animals. He had all of this work that God had given him to do. But God looked down and said, it's not good for man to be alone. He says, I will make him a helpmeet for him. So I think we should still trust in that same God. Because the same God who made exactly what Adam needed is the same God who will make what you need and what I need. He knows exactly how to produce the help that we need. And in the Eden, God looked down and says, I need to take a part of Adam. I need to make something on his level. You know, man is a social creature. We need fellowship. We can only prosper within the body. That's why the Bible speaks of us as sheep. Sheep are not ordained to be on their own. When did you ever see a sheep that you make it, no, you keep it on its own? Sheep thrive within a herd. Sheep need each other. They need to stick together. And the moment you see a sheep out on its own, there's something wrong with that sheep. That sheep's in trouble. It's vulnerable. It's either it's sickly. There's something different about that sheep. It's not normal for a sheep to want to separate itself, isolate itself, and stay on its own. It's just natural behavior for sheep to flock together. It's natural for birds of a feather to flock together. It's natural in creation for God's creatures to be social, to be want to be together as part of a group. There's something about it. It's just the way that we made. And that's the way that it was with Adam. Adam was satisfied in all the other things that he was doing. But God looked down and he saw a great need in his life. And he says, the need this man has is, Adam's fellowshipping with me. I am the Most High, I am the Almighty. But he needs fellowship at his level. He needs fellowship with someone who's the same as him. Someone who goes through the same things as him. Somebody who's going to understand. Someone that can relate to him. Someone that he can speak to at the level that he is. And that's why God was in Eve. God was in Adam. That was God with skin on. So God was going to minister to Adam through Eve. And God was ministered to Eve through Adam. And that was the way that God instituted it right in the beginning. And then God calls his people in the Exodus and he says, Moses, we want to institute the tabernacle of the congregation. Right from the beginning, God was showing that man, his people, in order to continue on and make progress and finish the course in the Exodus, it was going to need the congregation. God was going to institute the congregation. You know, God knew that I've got to keep my people together. I've got to bring them together as a body. I've got to bring them together as a family so that they can minister one to another. And the reality of it is, friends, there's nothing I can do to help you and there's nothing you can do to help me. But there's a lot that Christ in you can do to help me. And there's a lot that Christ in me can do to help you. But it needs us to be under an expectation. It needs us to have a spirit of appreciation. That needs us to have a spirit of discernment. Paul is saying, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, discernment means to look beyond the veil and see things as they really are. And sometimes we're just looking at the veil and that's all that we see. We sing, oh, he's Congolese. Ah, she's from here, she's from there. No, we're not Congolese. We're not from here and there. We're from heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're from the same gene pool before the foundation of the world. And God has brought us together. Don't judge people by the veil. Don't be stumbled by the veil. It's Christ within the veil. That's what makes all the difference. It's God hiding in simplicity within the veil. Now, God has ordained us to live together as a community. It's the community of the body of Christ. There must be a communion in the body. You know, and our friends, like I'm saying, you can be in the local body and have no communion with the body. And that's why you'll be weak and sickly. You'll never get anywhere. The moment that you think that you're different, you think nobody understands you, you think that you're different than everybody else, either God's made a mistake or you're mistaken. And I would put my money on the fact that God doesn't make any mistakes. That if God brings you together in a community, God knows what he's doing. There's got to be the resources in that community to minister to you. Why would God bring you to a place that there's not the resources to minister to you? That means you're not a son and a daughter of God. That means that God doesn't care for you. God is not providing your needs and watching over you. But friends, one thing I know, that God is very faithful.
Amen.
God is very faithful. But the problem is, He ministers to us so many times, but you don't recognize that it's Him.
That's right.
You know, sometimes unless you really get yourself in tune, God can do so many things when you won't even recognize it was God.
Hallelujah.
You won't even recognize. But once you're in tune with God, once you're walking with God, you'll see Him everywhere.
Hallelujah.
You'll see Him doing things in all hands.
Right.
You'll say, that was God. That was God. The way that worked was God. To the natural man, you'll say it was a coincidence. That it would have worked that way anyway. But friends, it comes a stage where it's just too many times that it can't be a coincidence.
Yes.
That when things just happen regularly in that line inside of your life, that things just come. When you don't have enough finances, something comes and ministers to you.
Amen.
The next time something comes and ministers to you. The next time something comes and ministers to you. There comes a stage where you put up your hand and say, this is God.
Amen.
This isn't man. This isn't coincidence.
Right.
This isn't things that just happen.
Amen.
And it's the same as when you're down in spirit. The same as when you're low in your Christian experience. And then you meet somebody. Or God brings somebody your way. Or the ministry goes down a certain way. Or God brings a certain visiting minister. And God will minister to you exactly in your point of need. There comes a time when it happens just so regularly that you've got to put up your hands and say, this is God.
Amen.
This isn't a man thing like the song says. This is a God thing. This is something divine. This is something supernatural. And your soul discerns when God is doing something. Your soul knows this isn't just a natural event.
Right.
Your mind will try to reason. Your mind will try to tell you all sorts of stories. The devil will try to tell you all sorts of stories. But the witness of your soul is, you know, there's something supernatural taking place here. This is the supernatural realm ministering to me. And friends, the best thing at that time is just open yourself up and receive. Draw everything that you can from any time of visitation of the Lord. Because that's God's way of sustaining His people. That's God's way of bringing you from where you are and moving you to the next place in your experience. But we've got to discern the body of the Lord. We've got to discern that this is God dealing with us. We've got to respect one another. We've got to be under an expectation that God is going to use my brother. He's going to use my sister to minister to me. And once we're under that expectation, God will meet you in your expectation because you get what you expect. But if you're just looking around and saying, I just wish that I wasn't here. You know, none of these people understand me. Be careful. Be careful. You're not discerning the Lord's body. And that is the reason that many are weak and many are sickly, failing to discern the body of the Lord. They're waiting for the physical Jesus to come down and minister to them. They're waiting for the physical Jesus to come and sit with them in their home like He did on the way to Emmaus. But no, He's in His body now. It was God above us, then God with us. Now it's God in us.
Amen.
This is His body. This is the way that He works now.
Amen.
It's now God in us. And friends, that's discerning the body of the Lord.
Amen.
Proverbs says, a friend loves at all times.
Amen.
Now we know that's friendship. A friend is going to love you when things are good and when things are bad. But the verse continues to say, but a brother is born for adversity. We know that verse. Now the Jews said that verse shows us the difference between a friend and a brother. A friend will keep on loving you at all times. But a brother, brotherhood is born in your days of adversity. Real brotherhood, the real establishment of something deeper than just friendship. The establishment of brotherhood. Of what the body needs to be comes through our days of affliction, comes through our days of adversity. That's when the real relationship between people is born, is in the times of adversity. That's when a relationship will be birthed into the next level, to something deeper than it was before. It's when you allow somebody, God, to use someone to minister to you in your time of adversity. And then you see how effective it is. How effective the Spirit of Christ is in working with you, right on your ash heap, right in your time of affliction, your time of adversity. You see, the Spirit of Christ uses a brother and a sister.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be a minister. Every one of us is a minister.
Amen.
Anyone with the Spirit of Christ is a minister.
Yes.
Christ wants to minister through you. Christ as much wants to minister to you as he wants to minister through you. But a brother is born for the day of adversity. And you can take it, translate it different ways. It can be a brother is born in the day of adversity. And the greatest fulfillment of that verse is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the brother born for the day of adversity. But let's think how Jesus deals with us. How does Jesus deal with you in your day of adversity? What does he do? There's not many times that the Lord Jesus Christ comes to you in the midst of your trial and just takes you straight out of your trial. It's not normally how the Lord deals with us. The way he normally deals with us is he ministers the resources that we need to overcome that trial, to work through that trial. That's the way that he normally deals with us. He's the brother that's with us in our adversity. He ministers to us in our adversity. There's not many times when there's an ordained trial that God brings your way that he just delivers you from that trial. He'd rather take you through the Red Sea. He'd rather be with you in the fiery furnace. He doesn't take you away from the trial, but he wants to prove his faithfulness. And that is when your experience with him grows and deepens. Your appreciation of who he is. It's when you go through one adversity after another and you find he's there and he's faithful and he's ministering the resources that you need. He's giving you exactly what you need on a daily basis to face up to the things that you're going through. That is what the Lord does. Because he's the real brother born in the day of adversity. Now, it's just as much with us as brothers and sisters in Christ. God wants to use your brother and your sister to be a brother or a sister to you in your day of adversity. And then you'll really appreciate that person. You may have looked at that person for many years and says, I really wonder if I'll ever be one with that brother, that sister. God will bring a situation, and if you'll just allow it, see how God will use sometimes those vessels that you didn't expect, those people that you never expected, and God will just allow them to move within a certain gear, to move within a certain spiritual place, and they will minister exactly to you at your point of need, in your time of adversity. And they are the ones that can take those ash heaps, and they can turn it into a sacred sands where God meets you on your ash heap, and God ministers to you on your ash heap. But sometimes it's in an unexpected time. It's in an unexpected way. And we expect in deliverance to come from a certain way. Friends, leave God to bring his deliverance whichever way that he wants. But be under an expectation in your time of need. Be waiting and watchful. Like I think it was Nahum, one of them. I can't remember which one. Who went up on his watchtower. He prayed to the Lord. And then he says, I went on my watchtower to wait and see the way that the Lord was going to work and visit him with deliverance. Now, in order for God to minister us, friends, we've got to be pure in heart. We've got to be open. We've got to be honest with one another. No, we are creatures that live within the veil. And in order for God to be able to really minister to us, we've got to come out from behind the veil. There's got to be an unveiling of what's inside of us. People sit and they suffer in silence. People will be dying spiritually, but they keep it within the veil. They want to keep it within the veil. And they don't want to admit help within the veil. They don't want to allow the Lord to come and minister to them within the veil. They put up the defenses. Many times it's for genuine reasons. People think, I don't want somebody to know that I'm struggling like this. I don't want my brothers and sisters to know that I've got such doubts and such fears inside of my life. Friends, everybody has doubts and fears. Everybody has to work through those kinds of things. And the sooner that we realize that, the better. The sooner that we realize that we can't die in silence. We can't continue being weak and sickly and that, keeping everything within the veil. Our very spiritual condition, God is showing us that we're not doing it the right way. We're missing the point in our Christian walk. Because if we're doing it the right way, why are we struggling the way that we are? But it's got to be an unveiling. And friends, God, you've got to have people that God has inside of your life that you're comfortable with at certain times, that you can unveil yourself, that you can open up what's in the soul, what's inside of your heart. And then God himself, God can come with skin on. He can minister to you exactly beyond the veil as well. And God will be working on both hands. And that is the key, friends. And the devil knows that this is the key. He knows just how much the human soul cries out for that kind of communion. But friends, so many times we're having fellowship with each other just on the surface level. No, we're sitting and we're saying, yes, I agree with this, I agree with that. And yet you're dying in your soul. And you're fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters. And they come to your house, they sit down, you have a cup of tea, you have a meal with them, and you were dying in your soul when they came, and you're still dying in your soul when they go. God never wanted it like that. And it's not God's fault, it's your fault. Because you're not unveiling yourself. When the atmosphere gets good, and when something's trying to whisper inside of your soul and tell you, speak what you're going through. Be honest about where you are. So many times you don't want to do that. Because we're scared people will judge us. We're scared somebody's going to think that I'm not spiritual. One of the most spiritual things that you can do is be honest. That's one of the most spiritual things that a person can be. One of the most spiritual things a person can do is go and say sorry to somebody. Some people feel they're above saying sorry. But friends, it's a very spiritual thing. One of the most spiritual things a person can do is admit they made a mistake. Because many people don't want to admit they made mistakes. But a spiritual person can admit they made mistakes. Go and search the message and see how many times the prophet said he made mistakes. And you'll see that a spiritual person, it's no problem for them to admit they've made a mistake. But as we make this false conception inside of our minds that every one of us is an angel and no one goes through problems like I go through, that's a lie of the devil. And the devil's telling you that because he's scared of one thing. He's scared that when you're honest with your brothers and sisters, God within the veil is going to minister you out of the situation that you are. That's why he's going to keep telling you, no one's like you, no one's going to understand you. That's a lie. How can nobody understand you in the body of Christ? Where's Christ then? Where's Christ? He's in his body. How can he not understand you? He made you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly the ash heap that you're sitting on this evening. And he knows exactly how to minister you from the ash heap. But you've got to open yourself up. You've got to sometimes unveil yourself. Let him come and start to minister to you through his body within the veil. Friends, it's not the image that we put across to people. I don't want to make an image that I'm some super spiritual person. I just want to be that what I am. If I'm not spiritual enough, you pray for me. But I don't want to try to make myself more spiritual than I am. Let me be honest with you and you be honest with me. And that's the best way that we can help each other, friends. That's the best way we can go forward as the body of Christ. Is let's be honest about our condition as a church. Let's be honest about our conditions in our individual lives. And God can start to work with us then. But friends, many times we've got this fear, we've got these complexes, and we want to keep it all within the veil. And brothers and sisters come and you're saying, yes, oh, that's good. Oh, I so much love the Lord and all this. And yet inside of your soul, you're doubting whether God really loves you. You're doubting whether God is really personally interested in you. Open your soul up and give God an opportunity. And he will show you just how interested he is in you. But he's going to work through his body. That's the most effective way that God has of working with people, is working through your brothers and sisters to minister to you right in the situation that you are. And that's when you'll start to appreciate your brothers and sisters. That's when you'll start to appreciate coming together as a community, God bringing us together in a certain place, as a group of people, united under one head, united with one vision and one purpose. But there's got to be this purity in heart. We've got to be transparent. We've got to be willing to open ourselves up. Now, I perfectly understand why people don't do that sometimes. Because the devil knows the importance of that. So the devil wants to get there first. And people many times in the past would have opened themselves up, not to the right people. Because you've got to be careful who you admit within the sacred sands of your soul. You've got to be so careful who you allow to come within the veil. That people in the past have been through religious systems, maybe even been in the message. We were in a message church. We went through a lot of things. We went through things that you'd never expect to see named among the sons and daughters of God. And if you're not careful, those experiences of the past, those scars and those wounds and those memories of the past, the bad experiences we had before, they take us behind the veil. And we just keep everything inside of there and we're afraid to open ourselves up because maybe we've been hurt before. Friends, man might have let you down, but Christ never will. Amen. And you've got to have discernment enough to realize You will know it inside of your own soul when God puts a son and a daughter of his within your jurisdiction. You will know yourself. I believe this person can help me. I believe this sister can help me. There's something inside of myself. There's a deep inside of me which is drawing me to that sister. Then you go and you have some fellowship and you just open yourself up a little bit and you see how heaven comes down and God's grace comes down and there's balm in Gilead there to minister to your needs and it'll encourage you to open up some more. You don't just open up to anybody. You've got to be careful. That's some of the most painful experiences that you can go through is admitting people within the veil. And they weren't the right people. Go and ask Jesus what it was like with Judas. Bringing somebody right within the inner circle like that. That was painful for Jesus. To bring somebody right in as one of his disciples and be betrayed by that person. That's a hard thing to go through, friends. It's the same as in Kings and in Samuel. You find David with Ahithophel, his trusted counselor. And then when Absalom raised up, where was Ahithophel, David's counselor? Until David goes and writes Psalm 69. He said, we took sweet communion together. We took sweet counsel together. We used to go up to the house of God together. If it had been an enemy that had reproached me, that had betrayed me, I could have borne with it. But it was you, my trusted friend. That's one of the most painful experiences you can go through, is admitting the wrong person within the veil. Because a person will come in and defile the temple, a profane person. That sacred place. But what you wanted to do, you want in Christ within the veil. Amen. So if you see that Christ is dealing in your brother, Christ is dealing in your sister, there's an atmosphere. You know it yourself. You know when God is living in someone. And it's the God in someone that you trust. The prophet said it's the Christ in one another that we love to fellowship with. And that's the key. But that's why sometimes you find people, they keep all these things in. Because maybe of the things which they've been through. Maybe experiences they've had in the past. But friends, don't let it stay like that. Because you'll perish in that condition. You need to pray and say, Lord, give me the spirit of discernment. Let me discern the body of the Lord. Let me find brothers and sisters that can put themselves in my shoes. That will really understand where I am. And will help to minister me from where I am. And then you leave it in his hands, friends. And I don't think when there's a cry inside of a genuine person's heart that God won't respond to that. Christ got in a boat, sailed across a stormy sea, the prophet says, because one soul was crying out for him. Amen. Which was legion. One soul crying out in his time of need. Christ got in a boat and crossed across the sea to go and minister to that one soul. Amen. You think of your souls crying out tonight, he's not going to minister to you. But sometimes you've got to recognize God with skin on. You've got to discern the body. You've got to recognize the way that God wants to minister to you and to deal with you. Amen. That's why he says many are weak and sickly because of this. Many. He wasn't speaking of unbelievers. He was speaking about in the bride. Paul was the messenger of his day. He says many are weak and sickly among you. He says for this cause, failing to discern the body of the Lord. Friends, that's a serious thought. It's a very important thought. Amen. It's an answer. It's a prescription from Dr. Jesus, from Dr. Paul. Amen. As to the spiritual maladies of sons and daughters of God at that time. People that were pining away. People that weren't growing. People that weren't developing. People whose spiritual growth had got stopped along the way. Something was wrong somewhere. And Paul said, for this cause, many are weak and sick among you, not discerning the body of the Lord. Now, we can also make another mistake. We end up just fellowshipping with the people that we're familiar with. And we always want to fellowship with the same people, but they're not helping us anymore spiritually. That's another mistake we can make. We always invite the same people to come and preach. Friends, we need to be challenged in our experience many times. We need to stretch ourselves many times. That's why if you can see someone doing well in their spiritual experience, if you can see them being used of the Lord in a certain way, befriend yourself with those kinds of people. Amen. And the very work of Christ inside of the life of that person is going to challenge you. Amen. It's going to encourage you to say, but there's more. There's more for me. I can go deeper. There's further that I can go. There's higher that I can go. That's wonderful when the Lord brings somebody who's walking with the Lord within your sphere of influence. When you can really see God is dealing with this person. There's progress being made in the spiritual life. It'll really help you in your spiritual life if you've got stagnant. But sometimes we get backslidden, we get in the flesh, and because that person's doing well and we're not doing well, we want to start fault finding. Or, you know, we get allow a critical spirit to get on us. That's the great enemy. Rather be encouraged by Christ in that person's walk. Rather be inspired by what God is doing in other people. Never be jealous of anybody else. Rather look and say, but if God is using that person, how much more can He use me as well? Amen. There's more. If I give more, if I humble myself more, He can use me in a greater way. Hallelujah. But there's that way sometimes that we feel as well. And that's why we get sometimes, we low in spirit, we want to fellowship with people that are low in spirit. Because you don't need to, we don't want to be challenged. We don't want to be with someone who's in a good spirit that's going to make us feel uncomfortable in our backsliding. Amen. Friends, it's good to be uncomfortable in your backsliding. Yeah. I pray that every one of us will always be uncomfortable in our backsliding. Let the Lord come and challenge us in our backsliding. If God loves you, He's never going to leave you at ease in Zion. He doesn't want you to be like that. Have you reached the fullness of your adoption yet? No. So how can you be at ease then? How can you sit back? But sometimes, friends, we get low in spirit. We start getting involved in worldly things. And instead of looking and saying, but Lord, I need you to minister me out of this situation, we start looking around, birds of a feather, and we go and find someone who's the same as us. And then we become partners in crime. In the body of Christ. Friends, you don't need partners in crime in the body of Christ. You want someone that God is going to use to minister you higher. Someone that their life is going to be a voice of God to you to say, come up higher. To call you to higher heights. Someone that you can feel comfortable with and say, hey, brother, I really appreciate Christ in you. But I'm not where you are. I'm not walking where I'm supposed to walk. I've allowed the world in. I've allowed certain things to come and profane the temple. I desire to be sanctified once again. And friends, that honesty, if somebody is really walking with Christ, they're never going to look down on you when you're honest. They never are. It's a carnal person. It's the hypocrite. It's the Pharisee that looks down on you when you're honest. But a genuine spiritual person will see you as more spiritual the more open you are about the condition that you're in. That's the way. Don't you love it when your children come and tell you what's on their hearts? When they tell you, Daddy, I'm scared. I don't want to do this. Makes you love them more. You don't look down on them. But when they unveil what they are, when they really speak to you, it shows they've got a confidence in you. It shows that they feel, they discern somehow that Daddy can help me with this. And friends, it's the same as in the body of Christ. Surely there's got to be someone that's going to help you in the condition that you are. Otherwise, God's not on the throne. God's not in control of your life. God isn't in control of the destinies of people. But God still, like I say, causes the planets to cross exactly at the right time in orbit. And God will bring your orbit exactly in line with somebody else in the point of need. But at that point, you need to discern the body of the Lord. You need to say, this is God's grace to me. You need to take full advantage of that which God is doing. And if God is working on both hands, that person's going to move into the spirit of understanding you, and you're going to feel, move yourself into a position that you're going to feel to start unveiling some of the things that you've been hiding within your soul. Some of these things you've been hiding behind a countenance, saying that all is well, when not all is well. Friends, why die spiritually in the house of God? Why die in the house of healing? Isn't that what Jesus said to Israel? He says, why is there no physician there? He says, why then is the health of the daughter of Israel not healed, the daughter of Zion? He says, there's balm in Gilead. There's everything that's needed to heal the hurts of my people. But the prophet says, sometimes you die on the doctor's doorstep. You die with the prescription in your hands because you're not applying the prescription. You're expecting God to come through some other way. But God has His preferred methods of dealing with us. And let Him choose the method of your deliverance. Let Him choose the way that He wants to minister to you in the situation that you are. And just be under the spirit of expectation. Be watching out and saying, Lord, how are You going to help me here? And friends, it won't take long until God will start doing something. And if you've got the spirit of discernment upon you, you will discern and say, Lord, this isn't natural. This is something supernatural here. The way that this is opening up. Now let's come to Rahab and see this principle in the life of Rahab. Hebrews chapter 11, let's just read it once again. We'll see this was the factor that made the complete revolution in the life of Rahab. Hallelujah. To bring her from being a harlot under condemnation, right in the line of judgment in Jericho, to bring her into the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the grandmother of Boaz, whatever she was, to bring her right into her position that she was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Paul, when he looks at it, he says, what was the great thing that Rahab did? 11 verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She discerned who these young men were. That's what made the difference. When the rest of the people were saying there's spies in the city, she saw God with skin on. She saw two representatives of Jehovah in her day. And these weren't ministers. This wasn't Joshua himself. This was just two young men. But they were sent by Joshua. They were on talking terms with Joshua. And as soon as their paths crossed by predestination to meet her right in her point, her time of need, right in her time of anguish, when she knew that judgment was coming her way, she didn't know how to bring herself out of that condition. She didn't have the resources to change her life. She didn't have anything in all the religion of Jericho and all of her good intentions, all of the vows that she must have made in times gone by. There was nothing that she could do herself to change her condition. But God could do something to change her condition. And so what did God do? God sent two members of the body into her house.
Hallelujah.
That's what he did.
Amen.
And the greatest thing this woman ever did inside of her life was discern who those two young men were.
Amen.
To discern, this is the body of the Lord. This is my deliverance here in human flesh. That this isn't just natural, these young men being here. This is the hand of God. I've heard of this God, but now I see him in my house. I see his grace being ministered to me. But friends, we get to a stage, we become used to one another. We become so common with one another. The wife becomes common with the husband becomes common with the wife, that we don't see each other that way anymore. And then we can't help each other anymore. Then we just become, it's just my husband saying those things again. He's always complaining about this, that, and the other. Sometimes it's not your husband complaining. Sometimes it's Christ in your husband wanting to minister your home into a better spiritual condition. But you need to discern the body of the Lord. Sometimes it's not that your wife is just complaining about this, that, and the other. Sometimes it's Christ in your wife wanting to minister to you. You go back and have a look in the Bible, friends. How did God minister to people? Take Naaman as an example. Naaman was a proud and arrogant man. Yet he was a good man. God had respect to the man. But he was a man that God had used to bring forth great victories in the army of Syria and so forth. But the man had sin in his life. He had leprosy. And he himself had no way to overcome his own leprosy. But God had a provided place in that day. God had Elisha the prophet. And Elisha had the gift of deliverance that he could heal this man of his leprosy. Now how did God minister Naaman from his point of need? It's a very interesting story. Let's have a look at it before we get to Rahab here. Let's go and have a look at Naaman. Because I like these two different things that you see in this story. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings 5. Verse 1 speaks of how he was an honorable man, the Bible says. Now let's read it, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. And honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. So the Lord had used this man. It's not like this man didn't know the hand of the Lord. He knew the hand of the Lord. But he had a situation inside of his life that he couldn't overcome. Now people many times ask me, when should people come in and sit down and talk about their lives? It's when you've prayed, when you've done everything you can and there's a situation in your life you can't overcome yourself. That's when you take it the next level higher. You speak to your husband, you speak to your wife. Please be together with me and pray. I'm struggling with this. If that still doesn't work, then take it up higher.
Amen.
Go and seek for counsel. Go and seek for advice.
Hallelujah.
It's when you're failing to overcome in your everyday life. When you're failing to overcome and you've done everything that you have tried to do, but you still find the leprosy is there. You still find the affliction is there. The weakness is there. Something continues to overcome you, though you're doing all that you can. Sometimes you need to take it up a step higher.
Amen.
And that's what this man needed. He was in a situation that he needed to take. He needed counsel. He needed advice. He needed God to minister grace to him from within the body. He needed that. But to bring this man to this place wasn't going to be easy, because this was a man that was so used to being the big shot. This was a man who was so used to doing things his own way. Because he was a mighty man of valor. And some of us are like that, friends. Some of us have got very hard heads. We don't want to be led. You know, we don't want. We think we know everything. You know, I know more than everybody in the church. Be careful. God will allow some leprosy inside of your life one day to show you that that's not the case. That you need to discern the body of the Lord. God will bring something inside of your life and then use sometimes the most insignificant of person to minister to you. Which is what happened here in verse 2. It says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. He was a member of the body. Here was the link to Naaman's deliverance, right there.
Hallelujah.
Right there, a little maid. She doesn't even put her name in the Bible. People have long forgotten her name, but God hasn't forgotten her name.
Amen.
And Naaman hasn't forgotten her name.
Amen.
And look what she did. Verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Maybe she was testifying, you know, doing her mistress hair or something and saying, you know, I'm so sorry to see my master suffering with leprosy. You know, there's a prophet called Elisha down in Samaria. Oh, tell me about him. Yes, when Elijah the prophet went up, he took Elijah's mantle and said, where's the God of Elijah? And opened the Jordan River. And there was another time that young men were using their axe to cut some wood, and the axe head went into the water. And Naaman went and threw whatever he did, and the axe head floated to the top. And she started to testify like that. And that testimony from within the body, God was trying to minister to this man. But God knew, I can't minister directly to this man because of his temperament. So this maid testifies to his wife. Friends, sometimes God has to work round and about to get us to the place that we're supposed to be. Sometimes God can't do it one step straight there. God knows the way that He's made us. God knows the weaknesses of our first birth. And God sometimes has to work to circumvent those things, because that is an enemy of the work of God inside of our lives. Because we would have made up our minds in a certain way, God must deal with me like this. And that was the kind of man that Naaman was. So God understood this. I'm going to have to be careful how I deal with this man. So this maiden testifies to his wife. Now his wife knew Naaman well. She never went and told him. That's amazing, the story. She knew, I'm not going to tell my husband this. He won't appreciate it. Look what the next verse says. Verse 4. And one went in and told his Lord. You would have thought, why didn't his wife go and tell the man about the prophet? Because I'm sure she had tried to help him on things many times before. Naaman was a big man and says, I don't need your help. You know, if I need your help, I'll ask for it or whatever. Or dismissed her. There's some people like that. But friends, God was very gracious to this man. Because God knew the way the man was made. And God is going to continue to work in the life of the man. So maybe the wife now, she takes a testimony to one of Naaman's servants. Whoever it was, maybe a fellow general or whatever, and says, you know, my maid was telling me about this great prophet down in Israel, down in Samaria. And that man was now moved to come and tell him, say, my Lord, there's a prophet. I've heard great testimonies of him. He's down there in Samaria. He can pray for you. You'll be well. And Naaman now, something started to wake up within him. And he says, is there a possibility? Is there a chance that my situation can change? Have you never been there, friends? Have you never been in a situation that you're saying, but can this change? And then God comes in due season and starts to minister to you. And you start to sense there's a potential. There's a hope that rises up. It can change. There's a hope for me. I don't have to stay like this. That's the grace of God, friends. That's the deep ministering to the deep within the veil. So now we know the big rigmarole that the king of Syria sends down to the king of Samaria of Israel. And the king of Israel, he's had a few too many battles along the way. So when the king of Syria, trying to do something good for his general friend Naaman, sends down and says, please, here's my general Naaman, please heal him of his leprosy. The king of Israel gives, you see, this man, he's trying to pick a fight with me. Have you never met people like that? Friends, you find them all the time. The people that have been through one battle too many, and they like a coiled spring. The moment something takes place, you see, he's trying to pick a fight with me once again. No, you're trying to cause a fight. You're trying to argue with me. That's how that man was. And Elisha, the Lord came and revealed to him by vision and says, look, I've got a man that needs some help, but there's a lot of obstructions in the way here. There's a lot of personalities of people that are coming in the way. Send to the king. And Elisha writes a letter to the king and says, why fuss the way that you are? Don't worry yourself. Send him down to me. Then he'll know that there's a God in Israel. Amen. And they send Naaman down now. Now look at Naaman's nature again. He gets down there, verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Deliverance is going to come through the body. It's not going to come in an expected way. It's been a little maid up there. It's now a messenger. We don't even know his name. But this man's used to dealing with the big people. He's used to dealing with the people on top of the chain. He doesn't deal with the small people. Friends, if you've got that kind of attitude, God's going to have a hard time ministering to you. Because God loves to deal with the little people. God loves to use that which is insignificant to show how great he really is. And the moment that we expect, you know, God, if he's going to speak to me, it must be brother so-and-so must deal with me. Friends, God will use sister so-and-so to speak to you. Amen. Just to humble you many times. Right. And if you put up your nose and say, I'm not going to deal with it this kind of way, be careful, you'll stay with your leprosy. Because yeah. That was the attitude that Naaman had. Yeah. Naaman didn't discern the Lord's body. He didn't realize this is God's grace dealing with me. And this young man came now. Verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come to you again, and thou shalt be clean. There was the solution. There was the prescription. That's all this man needed to do. It was so simple. But the problem is God's ways are too simple for us. What does he say? Verse 11. But Naaman was wroth. You can understand why his wife didn't try to testify to him. Because he was a man that always gets angry when people are trying to help him. There's people like it, friends. Try to help them, they get angry. But look at the grace of God. God knew the temperament of this man. So God was still going to deal with it. God was very patient with the man. God made sure he surrounded this man with people who understood him. Look what it says. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. That's the enemy. That's the enemy of God's dealings with us, friends. I thought God would send brother so-and-so to come and pray for me. Sometimes God is going to put it in the heart like the prophet says of a little woman there. She's going to have a burden to pray for your child. And she's going to come and say, would you mind if I pray for your baby? And God's going to use that mother and pray for your child. Although he had brother Branham coming to pray in the evening. And yet God used a little mother to pray the prayer of faith for a baby. That's discerning the body of the Lord, friends. That's being under an expectation that, hey, this is something supernatural here. For this woman to come and ask to pray for my baby, this isn't natural. She's not asking to pray for everybody else's baby. And my baby needs prayer. And that woman was spiritual enough to recognize, please, feel free, pray for my baby. And that was God's way of bringing deliverance to her. Because she discerned the body of the Lord. Just an unassuming, unexpected way. A simple way that God wanted just to come and minister like that. But sometimes we're looking for something so big and great, so grandiose. But God hides himself in simplicity. Amen. So he wants to go away now. And he says, I thought he will surely come out. Who? The prophet. Now if God's going to heal me, the prophet must come and pray for me. Friends, be careful. Be careful. Because sometimes before God can heal you physically, he's got to heal you spiritually. And part of spiritual healing is to humble you. Is to get you down on your face before the Lord. To get you off your high horse, like the prophet says, and bring you down like Paul in the dust on the road to Damascus. And then he can start to speak to you and minister to you from where you are. And minister the solution. And he says, and I thought he'll come out and stand and call on the name of his God. And strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. It's like those people who feel, friends, that it's not a good meeting unless the minister's kicking over the table. There's many people, friends, they come. I have a complex about that when I preach many times because I'm not made like that. But you'll be knowing some people will just be sitting like this, almost falling asleep. You know? And sometimes God will be really speaking to them and you'll be feeling it. But they're saying, oh, this, God's never going to speak to me at this kind of preaching. They're waiting for someone to come who's big, who bashes the table and the glasses of water bounce up and down. They're waiting for someone to come and preach with a deep voice like God on Mount Sinai. Yeah. And then they say, oh, God spoke to me today, friends. It's the still small voice sometimes. Let God choose the way that He wants to deal with you. You don't choose the way that you want God to speak to you. God can speak sometimes with the most unexpected of sources, in the most unexpected of ways. Because God has promised to meet you in your point of need. And He's going to meet you if you'll just have discernment of spirit enough to recognize that this is God dealing with me. Because you will feel it in your soul that something supernatural is taking place here. This isn't just mortality dealing with mortality. This is a heavenly place. There's some supernatural element. There's a voice behind the voice. There's a real word behind the words. There's something spiritual working within the realm of the natural here. You sense it inside of your own soul that God is wanting to do something with you. That God is dealing with you at that time. So he turned away, verse 12, and went away in a rage. The man was angry, but God was gracious to the man. Verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him. These servants understood this man. Friends, this was God's grace to surround this man with people that understood him. And each of them was going to play a part to minister this man to his deliverance. To minister him to his deliverance. And his servants came near and spake to him and said, my father, if the prophet bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean. Then went he down, dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Why does God put that story in the Bible? Because many of us find ourselves there many times. Many of us do. Friends, we think that we're far bigger spiritually than we think we are. Sometimes we think we're above correction. Sometimes we think we're above order. You know, doesn't matter how big we are. Doesn't matter how much God has used us in the past. Every one of us is subject to divine order. Every one of us would submit ourselves to order. Every one of us needs to keep ourselves. Not like King Uzziah, where we branch beyond what we're supposed to be. And yet God had his body there. He had the priesthood. And they came and they withstood him and said, please, King, you've done so well. God's used you so mightily to build up the fortifications of Jerusalem. To bring deliverance to the people. Your name has entered right in even to the entering of Egypt. God has helped you. But this won't be for your honor. Don't do this. And instead of discerning God's grace in the body, instead of discerning that this was God trying to keep him from transgressing the very laws of God, which had been the basis of what God had used him to achieve, instead of that, he got wrath with them. He got angry with the priesthood. He failed to discern the body of the Lord. And it was just simple, insignificant people. I don't even know if it gives you the name of who the people were that came and withstood the king. But friends, that was God's voice of grace to that man. Amen. To try to keep him from crossing a certain line that he was never going to be able to get himself back from. But the man, he didn't discern the body of the Lord. And he got himself in all types of trouble. That was the same as Rahab. Now God sent these two insignificant men into her house. And that was the grace of God to her. This was God's provided way of ministering her from where she was. Because God deals with us one step at a time. God had great thoughts for Rahab. He wanted to bring her right into the body. He wanted to use her. He wanted to bring forth the promise through her in that day. The promise of the line of the Messiah. But God was going to deal with her one step at a time. And the very first step that needed to be dealt with, she was in the line of judgment. And she had provided a lot of the justification for the judgment, far more than maybe many people in that city, because she was a harlot. But her immorality. And the prophet says she was right in the line of the damned. And her house was right on the city wall. And that was the first place where judgment was going to strike. Was right where her house was. She was in a very serious condition. Judgment wasn't far from her. Yet she was a predestinated vessel of God. Therefore, God was going to send grace to her to minister her out of that position. God didn't want to strike her with judgment, so God was going to use the body to minister her into the place of safety. That's what he wanted, to bring her from where she was. And like I said, there was absolutely no way that she could change herself. She might have wanted to many, many times, because you'll see when she spoke to those young men, she says, I've heard of your God. I know that he's the real God. He opened the Red Sea. She knew about God. But friends, it wasn't enough just having that knowledge, because she was failing to overcome the condition that she was in. She needed God in flesh to come in her house. And she needed very specific, particular instructions to counsel her in the very condition she was in. And that was God's provided way. And all she needed to do was to recognize that day of God's grace to her and accept these two young men. And that is why the Bible speaks of her, because that is what she did with both hands. Friends, she so recognized very quickly who these young men were. She recognized what these two young men represented. These were representatives of this great move of Jehovah. This was the link between her and Jehovah. She knew that God has sent these young men to me. And friends, it was the natural working, supernatural working so naturally. How was it those young men came into her house? How is it that they came just at that time and came and ministered to her in her condition? That's God. And that same God is the same today. That same God is dealing and working in the affairs of people exactly the same, and is dealing with you and me exactly the same way. And all he wants us to do is discern, is recognize what he's doing inside of our lives. And sometimes you're waiting for this one big thing, when sometimes he's wanting just to deal with the very thing we need dealt with first of all. And she needed to come out of her harlotry. She needed to come under the token first of all. Before you could speak of anything else in her future, God needed to minister to this situation first of all. To bring her out of her fears, to bring her out of her anguish, to bring her out of the situation of anxiety that she was in. Because she knew of this God, but she had no harmony with this God. She had no fellowship with this God that she had heard about. She knew he was doing these great works. She knew the judgments of God were in the earth. But inside of her soul, she knew, I have no harmony with this God. And then she met two people that did. Friends, that's what happened. Here was a woman out of harmony with God, and here were two young men that were in harmony with God. There was a woman that was totally out of the program of God. There was two young men walking right in the program of God, having been commissioned by Joshua to come and do what they were doing. And them being in the way, like Eliezer, God led them right to her house. Amen. And friends, that is a powerful thing to think about. Amen. Now you think about how God got the message to you. It was the same God. It was the same miraculous working of God. How did the message come to you? How did that person come to you at that time? When there was a hunger in your soul, when there was a seeking in your soul, when you knew things are not well, when you weren't satisfied in the religion that you were, that was the same as her. The same God who ministered to the need of Rahab was the same God who ministered to your need. The same God. And anybody could come and testify. I've testified of it many times. The brother who came, left his job in the bank at 25 years of age. Instead of going to university in his city, he came to a university in the mountains. I wasn't interested in university. My friend was a Greek, came back from holidays. He told me, Andrew, come next year to university. I said, where are you? It was Chris Koulas. He said, I'm in such and such university, Rhodes University. I said, which hostel are you in? He says, I'm in Cullen Bowles Hostel. I said, okay, let me come. I had nothing else to do. I wrote, applied, got in that hostel. That brother, Brother Clint, working in the bank, South African permanent, never thinking about anything else. He just feels it deep inside of his soul that he needs to go to university. Instead of going to University of Port Elizabeth, which was just down the street from where he lived, he applies to Rhodes University. And he gets put in Cullen Bowles Hostel. Friends, that's not natural. That is supernatural. That is God. And that God is just as real tonight and just as caring about you tonight as he was then. And he's just as determined to minister to your every need just as much as he did then. But you need to discern the body of the Lord sometimes. Because sometimes God is trying to move and work in us, wanting to get us to open up, come out from behind that veil. But you don't want to come out from behind the veil. You want to sit there as if all is well when things aren't well. When the barrenness of our profession, the feebleness of our Christian walk, weak and sickly, is testifying that all is not well within the veil. Sometimes you'll be thinking people don't recognize that I'm backslidden. Friends, anybody's half spiritual knows when people are backslidden. You can tell straight away. You can see it on the face of a person. You can see it on the way they come to church and sit near the back all the time. You'll find that, friends. You'll find a person who's backslidden. They never want to come and sit in the front. They're not happy when the deacons ask them to come and sit up here. They don't want eye contact with the minister. You know? It's like an uncomfortableness. Yes. Maybe you'll discern something here. It's not us that discern, it's the word that discerns, friends. The word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Tonight is never changed. It's the word that does the job. But God's word is in the bride. It's in his people. And that gives the bride the spirit of discernment. That you can discern. And that's why sometimes people will think, but I don't think anybody realizes that I'm really down in spirit. Yet everybody, it's so apparent to them. And people are praying for you and people are trying to find some way to help you in that situation. But you'll be keeping it in. Dying spiritually. It is balm in Gilead. It is healing in the body. It is every divine resource that's needed to minister you from that situation. If you would just discern it and open yourself up and allow God to do his wonderful work, and you'd see the difference it would make. And that's what Rahab did. She recognized these two young men straight away. She recognized there's something different about these men. She had been in fellowship with many men, friends. She was a harlot. She had been with many, many, many men. But the moment she met these two young men, she knew there's a difference. And that's how it is as well. In the message, when you got in the message, you met someone, you knew there's a difference here. There's something different here. And that hunger inside of your soul, which is crying out, something told you inside of there. This person has the answer. Stick close to this person. And it wasn't just the fleeting visit that makes the difference. If they'd have just met Rahab in the street and then she'd been too busy with the affairs of her life and had just said, sorry, I can't speak, and off she went. Nothing would have been ministered to her. But they came and they lodged in her house, the Bible says. That's the grace of God. They came and lodged in her house because God knows sometimes we need intensive treatment. We need some intensive care. You find when the prophet was telling people to pray for the Holy Ghost, what did he tell them? We'll lay hands on you, then go and stay with people. Amen. Stay with him in the house. Amen. Go and pray together with people that are in the spirit. Amen. Go then stay as long as it takes. Amen. Like Brother George is saying, it's exactly the truth. Sometimes you need to lodge there. When you discern that God is dealing with you through something, lodge there. Hallelujah. Stay there. Be like Jacob. Say, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I'm not letting you go until this situation changes inside of my life. I'm tired of this situation. Sometimes you need to be like the Syrophoenician woman. Perseverance, friends. If you seek for help the first time and it seems you're not satisfied, go back a second time. This is your soul that you're talking about. If you feel your issue wasn't dealt with thoroughly the first time, keep going back. That's not taking offense. Keep going back. That's what that woman did to Jesus. She said, thou son of David, or whatever she said. And Jesus didn't answer a word. She continued on, and the disciples said, chase this woman away. She's bothering us. She pushed on further. Jesus said, it's not good to give the meat to the dogs. She says, yes, Lord, truth. But the puppies, the little dogs, they eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And then grace was unveiled to her. Sometimes we need that, friends. We need to be perseverant because it's our souls. It's our spiritual condition. And sometimes God puts us to the test, the prophet says. Before deliverance comes, he pushes you a little bit further to see whether you'll just give it up and say, ah, you see, God doesn't care about me. Friends, how can God not care about you? He has the blood. He has the broken body, which testifies how much he cared for you. How can he not care for you? But sometimes we need to lodge there, friends. We need to allow that visitation. We need to recognize, discern the body of the Lord and stay there. And allow God to minister the full work through his chosen way that he's established at that time inside of your life. Sometimes you'll find a brother you have confidence in. And you're like praying together with that person. Somebody you can visit. And when they're opening up the word, it's like manna to your soul. Stay there. Amen. Don't be too quick to go here, there, and everywhere. If God is dealing with you in a certain place, it's like if you're listening to a certain message and there's virtue, stay there. Lodge there. Until you've drawn all the spiritual resources from that message. As long as there's life there, it means there's a supernatural something that's ministering to you. Stay there. And that's what Jacob did. And that's what she did, Rahab as well. She wouldn't let them go until they ministered the solution to her.
Amen.
She wouldn't let them go. Let's read that before we close here. Let's go and have a look in Joshua chapter 2. It says that in verse 1. Joshua chapter 2 verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men. So where did these men get their commission from? It was from Joshua, who types Christ. The prophet says Joshua is the Holy Ghost in the message of the hour.
Hallelujah.
So these, although they were two young men, friends, they were under commission. They didn't realize yet the fullness of that commission. But their commission was to bring deliverance to Rahab. That's what their real commission was. And they came down, and it says, to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. I like that phrase.
Hallelujah.
That was God's grace.
Yeah.
Josephus and them said that she was an innkeeper. She was a harlot, but she had an inn, and that's why they could lodge there. And that was God's predestination. God even prepared the right place, because God knew sometimes you need to stay together. Sometimes you need to work at it together. Sometimes it's not just a 5-minute something and you're going to unlock it. Friends, it doesn't work like that. Even going to the natural doctors in the land speaks of it, friends. How many times sometimes if you've got something, you need to keep going back. And say to the doctor, but I'm still not better, please. This medicine's not making any difference. Sometimes it's got to be like that. And that's what it is, spirit. You've got to stay there. Until you have, thus saith the Lord about your situation. Until God personally speaks to you and shows you your personal answer. Your personal word of deliverance. To bring you personally from your personal situation. And never be satisfied until that happens. Never be satisfied until that happens. How can we continue on with life when you've got leprosy in our lives? How can we continue on when you don't have power, when you're weak and sickly, we're not doing well? And you want to go out and say that all is well. Friends, things aren't well. Let's be honest one with another. Things aren't well.
Hallelujah.
And let's stay there until things become well.
Yes.
And the prophet said, if it doesn't happen today, let's be there tomorrow. Yes. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, let's be there next week.
Amen.
But let's stay there until something changes.
Amen.
Stay there. And that's why sometimes it's good if you're low in spirit. Go and stay with believers that are in a good spirit. If you're seeking a spiritual blessing, you're seeking the Holy Ghost, seeking power in your life, find people that are living right with God.
Hallelujah.
And say, brother, could I come and stay with you? Sister, could I come and stay with you? What are you coming for? I need the blessing of God in my life. Please, can't you help me to pray? I've tried it on my own. I get easily distracted. I'll get home in the evenings from school, from college. I'll say, I'm going to seek God today. Then I'll see the television. Then I put the television on. I see the newspaper and all of the burden and desire is gone from me. I need to separate myself. I need to be in a place where other people help me to build the right atmosphere. And then I benefit from that atmosphere, that I stay focused until I receive the blessing.
Amen.
That's what the prophet told George Smith to do.
Amen.
He says, Brother George, you're seeking the Holy Ghost, go and stay with Perry Green.
Amen.
And he went and stayed with Brother Perry and they would go and pray together in the church in the evenings.
Amen.
And then one day God met him in his point of need. His soul's design. Brother Bram phoned from the other side of the country. And Brother Perry answered and said, yes. And Brother Bram said, please, can I speak to George? And Brother George came and said, yes. And Brother Bram says, I just want to congratulate you. You've just received the Holy Ghost. He said, but it needs that, friends. We need the body. There's something in the body. We need God with skin on many times to keep us in the right atmosphere, to keep us focused, to keep us. Until we inherit the blessing. But friends, sometimes we look at our husbands and our wives. We look at our brothers and sisters. No, we don't want to admit that we have a point of need. Friends, we all have needs. Who doesn't have a need here tonight? Who doesn't have a need? Maybe some people's needs are more urgent and critical than others. But every one of us has a need here tonight, friends. And God wants to minister to that need. Let's finish off. It's getting late here, saints. So she came. Now look at her discernment. Verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. Sometimes we need to come up to other people, our friends. We know this person's higher than me at the moment. And that's what she did. She came from where she was and she went up to where they were. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that your terror is fallen upon us. Verse 11. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Like I say, she knew about God. She knew about the message. But she was still in her prostitution. She was still in her harlotry. She wasn't living the life. She didn't have access to this God. She didn't have harmony. Didn't have reconciliation. So God had to send the body. Amen. To come and stand between God and her. And they were the ones that were going to minister her in. God is going to use them to show her the way. Amen. That she could experience something that she would never be the same again. Amen. That's what God was going to do. This was the link. I just put in my notes here, friends, seek for people that feed your experience. Fellowship with people who feed your spiritual experience. Don't fellowship with people who bring you down. Don't allow people on the sacred sands who come and dim the flame, friends. That come and blow cold breeze upon the fire. That's foolishness. How can you fellowship with people that all the time when you fellowship with them you feel low spiritually afterwards? Friends, there's not enough time in this life to fellowship with people like that. If you're not strong enough to minister them out of that condition they are, stay away from them until you are. Amen. Go and fellowship with people that will feed your experience. Then go back and try to help those people that need help. But you need that. Now, the key to this all, friends, is she started to open up. Can you see this? I guarantee you, Rahab has never told any other living soul these things she's telling these two young men. That I've heard about your God. Amen. I know he's God. Hallelujah. Our hearts are failing. Yeah. We're scared. I don't like being in this condition. We know your God's going to judge us. For the first time, she felt confident. She came into an atmosphere and met people that she felt confident she could open the veil. And as soon as she opened the veil, they started to open up as well. And they started now to minister to her. And then she felt more confident. She started opening up more. Until there was nothing hidden inside of herself. These young men knew exactly where she was. They knew exactly what she was fearing, exactly what she was desiring. And then God came and anointed them, and they ministered the solution to her. And friends, that's what it needs. It needs an openness. How can we say that we have a unity of spirit, friends, when you're dying in your soul and nobody knows anything about it? When you're thinking of backsliding, you're doubting if the message is true. You're wondering this, that, and the other. Nobody else knows about it. There's no unity there, friends. We've got to be of one soul, one mind, one purpose. Like I'm saying, you don't open up to everybody, but God will provide people and the right atmosphere and the virtue and the strength that God will minister to you will bear witness to you that you're going the right way. That this is my provided way for you at this time. So, she starts to open herself up. It becomes an unveiling. She goes beyond just the surface of things, friends. Like I said before, many times our fellowship is just surface fellowship. Now you can feel it when you've had that fellowship, that nothing was achieved there. Nothing spiritual took place. No one's made progress through this. And it's just a top level sort of a time of fellowship. Don't you love those times when there's an unveiling? I love that kind of fellowship. When you get down to business in your fellowship. When you get down and you put yourself on the same ash heap together. Hallelujah. That you put yourself in the other person's shoes and that person can feel it. Amen. There's a difference and a heaven responds to that kind of fellowship. You can't tell me in Rahab's that house that day she didn't feel, but there's a different atmosphere here. Something's taking place here beyond the realms of mortality. Heaven was pleased. Heavenly places came down and blessed that time of fellowship. And that encouraged her and gave her the strength to become even more open about what she was going through. And about how she felt about things. And what she was needing and what she was seeking and what she was desiring. And that unction, that anointing in the body quickened those two young men to tell her about the token. And minister exactly what she needed to be delivered in that day. And they started to minister. Now, I'll finish with this thought of God hiding in simplicity. Now, I'll read this quote from the message, God hiding in simplicity. The prophet says, "It is strange to think," this is page 20, it's paragraph 113, the seals book. "It is strange to think how that God," excuse me, I just lost my message there. This is God in simplicity. He says, "It is strange to think how that God does such a thing as that. God will hide himself in something so simple that will cause the wise to miss it a million miles." So friends, if we think we know, God will be hidden all around us in such a simplicity and we'll benefit nothing from God. Amen. Nothing from his body because we know everything already. Why should God move heaven and earth to come and minister a solution to you when you think you know the solution already? Why is he? He's not going to waste his time. But God gives grace to the humble. That when you feel your need, I need help here, God is going to move whatever he has to move to bring help to you. Otherwise, he's not the God of the Bible. But the same God who stopped the whole judgment move to bring help to one harlot. What about you and his bride? What about you? You think he won't bring help to you? But it's when we think we already know. Jesus says, because you say you already see, you're going to die in your sin. But if you had have said we don't see, grace would have ministered to those people. And that's what makes the difference. The prophet says, he'll hide himself and then turn right back around in that. Some simple thing in the simplicity of his way of working. Now imagine, he's preaching this at the beginning of the seals. Imagine. He's preaching this, that God hides himself in such simplicity because he knows when this great revelation of redemption is brought forth, it's going to come through such a humble vessel, in such simple language, in such a simple setting, that people are going to be stumbled by the simplicity. They're going to be thinking, but surely if God's going to unveil the seals, the prophet says it's going to be in the Vatican. No, it's got to be where there's gold all around, and there's got to be masses of people, and no, there's got to be the clergy dressed in all their splendor, and there's got to be the conclave of bishops sitting on both sides. If God is going to reveal, God chose to take a man that has a seventh grade education, friends, in a place called Jeffersonville that nobody else in the world knows anything about except for message believers. You ask anybody from America, they've never heard of Jeffersonville. It's a little town. Like Banbridge. It's a Belbriggan. It's a nothing. It's a Bethlehem. It's a Nazareth. Does anything good come out of Nazareth? But God hides in simplicity. And to the hungry and the thirsty soul, you recognize there's something supernatural here. This is what I need. He says, I thought it maybe makes a good text that you may study this before we go into the great teaching of the seven seals. Many miss him by the way he reveals himself. That needs to sink in deep, friends. Many miss him. Healing, deliverance, vision, purpose. Your need that you have. Because of the way that God chooses to reveal himself. Now, man has their own ideas of what God ought to be. And what God is going to do. As I've made the statement many times, man is always giving God praise for what he did do. Always looking forward to what he would do. And ignoring what he's doing. That's the way they miss it. They look back and see what a great thing he did. But they fail to see the simple thing that he used to do it with. We look back to Rahab and say, what a powerful story. But look how simple it was, friends. Just two nobodies. And God used them to minister for death, destruction, judgment, harlotry, immorality. And brought her under a token. And it was so simple, but it was God respecting his body. Because when those two young men told her, take your scarlet cord, put it in the window. The prophet says, God himself respected that counsel. It was so simple, but God himself. The whole city shook. All the walls fell except for that part.
Amen.
That's why sometimes we look at it, it was so simple, friends. That wasn't a complicated advice. There was no psychology in that. There was no great theology of men in that council that they said, look, just take this red rope that you're letting us down with and put it in the window. And when we come, whoever's in this building, they won't die. And friends, God said amen to that. God said amen.
Amen.
And that's the same God tonight. He's the same God. That if you feel led and God anoints and inspires you, or God brings somebody right into your path and that person, God puts an unction on them and they speak into your situation. I'm telling you one thing, friends. Heaven will back it up. Because that didn't originate from man.
Yes.
It was God who originated it. The same as with Rahab. The prophets, that's the way they miss it. They fail to see what a simple thing he used to do it with. And then they look forward and see a great something coming that's going to happen. And 9 times out of 10, it's already happening all around them.
Amen.
You see? And people are praying and saying, but Lord, please speak to me. Lord, help me in my situation. And sometimes last night you had brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so visiting in your house. And God already ministered the answer to you. But we're looking for some great big something. No, God's going to speak to me. I mean, I'm going to hear from the burning bush like Moses did. I'm going to see Moses and Elijah on the mountain the way that Jesus did. God can do that. But 99.99% of the time, he doesn't. He speaks through his body. He uses the body to minister to the body. And go and look at all the examples in the Bible. Look at the people that God worked and see the discernment they had. You think of Lot. He discerned who those angels were. And that brought deliverance. But his wife didn't. And that's why she perished. You think of Nabal and Abigail. Abigail recognized who David was. But Nabal didn't. That's why Nabal perished. Yet God had given him the perfect wife that he needed to help him. He had such a godly woman. She saw judgment coming their way. She knew we're in the line of judgment and she knew exactly how to stand in the way of judgment.
Amen.
Exactly what to offer to pacify David in the way of judgment. But this man didn't recognize the grace that God had put right in his house in the form of his wife. And because of that, the man died under the judgment of God. It can be so simple like that, friends. Go throughout the Bible, you will see it was like that. Examples of people that discerned it and were delivered. People who didn't discern it died in their sin, died in calamity. Friends, it doesn't have to be like that. Let's humble ourselves before the Lord this evening as we come to communion and just say one thing. Say, Lord, help me to discern. Help me to discern the body of the Lord. Help me to appreciate my brothers and sisters. Help me to appreciate what God, you've done for me. Friends, we'd all desire something far greater, something far more powerful. But I don't think God's going to bring anything more until we're faithful with what we've got. Until we appreciate what we've got, I don't think God's going to take us anywhere else. He's more than able to do it. He can pour out the Holy Ghost here tonight like he did in the house of Cornelius. He can do it any day of the week. But sometimes God wants us to appreciate and to discern our brothers and sisters and the good things that he's doing for us, yet sometimes hiding in such a simplicity. Let's stand, friends. Let's sing a song before we come to communion. That's how Paul said, failing to discern the body of the Lord. It's the reason that many are weak and sickly among you. And he said, and many sleep. Many people even died before their time. It didn't have to be like that. God wanted to minister to them, but they failed to discern God's provided way of ministering to them. And that's why I love the fact this is a body move now, friends. Like we say, the one man scripture is already finished. You know, Malachi 4, one man the prophet, but now it's the body. And that's what you've got to keep in focus. God can use whatever he wants to use. And if you'll be under expectation, you will see God will minister to you.
Prisoners chained with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas, let's pray the night, and in Their chains were loose,
oh, their chains were loose,
and they were free.
I bless your name.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are. The truth, the way.
The truth and the way.
I bless your name.
Oh, we bless you, Lord.
I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in the prison in your mind. Reach out and pray.
Reach out and pray.
Defy those chains.
Defy those chains.
And they will fall.
Oh, they will fall.
In Jesus' name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give. You are the light,
you are
the truth, the way,
the truth and the way.
I bless your name.
Oh, we bless you, Lord.
I bless your name.
So if you find
that in your life you're in the midst of time so hard, reach out by faith to heights unknown.
You will find
you're not alone.
I bless your name.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise, you are the light,
you are
the truth, the way,
the truth, the way.
I bless your name,
oh, we bless you, Lord.
I bless your name,
I bless your name,
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light.
You are
the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless.
George, can we sing that first song that we sang tonight? What is the first one that you sang? That's the one. Let's sing that song before we come to it.
The way. Please, Lord, show me the way. Power, show me
I am your child.
Lord, I am your child.
Lord, I am your child.
Lord, I am your child.
Oh, I'm down. I am your child,
Lord. I am your child.
Said I am
down
here, Lord, and I need your power.
Song. And just as we sing this song, you just be thinking in your life of God's grace around you. You children, think of your parents. Now, sometimes the children, they look at their parents and think, ah, this and that. One day you're going to appreciate your parents. And if you just look at your friends and what they allow and what they believe and the influence they put upon other children, friends, it's God's grace to you to have parents that live in the channel of the message of the hour. It's the grace of God. You may not see it as so, but if you ask the Lord tonight and say, Lord, give me discernment, you'll discern the body of the Lord. And maybe you'll start looking at the advice differently, and you'll find out that they're God's solution to just about anything that you're going through. That's why our young children, when they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, they don't have a lot of problems in their life. Why? Because whatever you tell them, they accept it. They realize you God's provided way for them at that age. They don't question and doubt and think they know better. But it's when we get older that we think we know better. Now, if your parents were worldly parents, I'd understand. But if they've got the Spirit of Christ living inside of their lives, despite their failings in the outer veil, you respect them and see how God will respect you. You approach them the right way as children and say, Dad, I've got this problem inside of my life. I don't want to just come to you as my dad. I'm coming to you as my father in the Lord. As God provided way of ministering to me, go and ask your parents in that attitude and see how God will show you the solution to what you're going through. It'll work every time. Friends, let's appreciate our brothers and sisters that surround us today. There's so many times God has used your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife to help you, to encourage you, to minister. I really do think we should appreciate the Lord tonight for bringing us into His body. Let's sing that song. Then we come to a time of prayer. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya.
Kumbaya, my Lord,
kumbaya,
hallelujah.
Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya.
Oh,
kumbaya, my Lord.
Kumbaya,
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 kumbaya.
someone's praying, Lord, kumbaya.
Someone's praying, Lord,
kumbaya.
Kumbaya.
Oh, Lord, kumbaya.
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 Someone's needy,
Lord. Kumbaya.
Someone's needy, Lord.
Someone's needy.
Someone's needy, Lord.
Kumbaya.
Oh, someone's needy,
Lord. Kumbaya.
Oh, Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya.
Kumbaya. Let's have a short time of prayer before we come to communion. Let's speak to Him for a while. Father, we do thank You, Lord, upon this night that You've allowed us to come and to commune, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You've called us to call upon this night, Lord. Father, we thank You for this wine that is before us upon this night, Lord. We pray that You would bless it, Lord. We thank You for the blood that was shed. And Father, we all will partake of a common cup upon this night. We thank You for that, Lord. Father, we thank You for the bread which was taken from a single piece. Lord, Father, from the same materials, Lord, Father, which is broken for us. We thank You for that, Lord. And Father, as we partake, Lord, each of us, Lord, as we'd go from this place, we'd have the same wine and the same bread inside of us, Lord. Just united around the same grace, around the same mercy, around the same program, around the same atonement, around the same token, Father, that You've given unto us, Lord, of the blood in this age. Father, we do thank You, Lord. Father, I thank You for the body. I thank You for my brothers and my sisters, Lord. I thank You, Father, Lord, for, Lord, people that You've allowed me to walk with in this pilgrimage. Father, during the rough parts of the journey, I thank You for them that have been there to help to lift up my arms, Lord. Father, I thank You for them, Lord, that when it was dark, Father, Lord, they've been there, Father, to be an encouragement, Lord, to keep going on. I thank You, Lord, when I've had questions, Lord. I thank You for ministers throughout the world. I thank You for brothers and sisters, for fellowship, Lord, that, Father, You've ministered unto me. That, Father, You've taught me, You've instructed me, Lord. When I wasn't sure which way to go, Father, You've had... Lord, the body, God with skin on, Lord. And I just thank You for every time that You've ministered unto me, Lord. I just appreciate it, Lord, Father. I just thank You for each brother. Thank You for each sister, Lord. And Father, You lead us and guide us, Lord. How the devil hates that kind of fellowship, Lord. How he hates it, Lord, Father, when there's an unveiling of brothers and sisters one to each other, when we're honest with one another, Lord. And Father, when there's a fellowship, Lord, that brings an atmosphere. And Father, how He works and how He tries with suspicion and how He tries with doubts and how He tries to bring up little things here and there. But Father, we just bring ourselves under Your divine atmosphere. And we just pray, Lord, let the atmosphere, Lord, of Your grace, Father, Lord, just destroy any atmosphere that the devil would desire to bring. Any atmosphere of division or strife or, Father, whatsoever it would be, Lord. And Just help each of us, Lord, to just be willing to continually humble ourselves, that, Lord, we may endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, Lord. For that is our desire at this time. Father, may you bless us as we partake of communion. Bless us as we wash one another's feet. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, let's just read our communion scripture. We've already read it tonight, but let's read Matthew 26. Matthew 26, we'll read that and we'll take communion. Matthew 26. Let's read from verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man. I like that. He doesn't even name the man, to such a man. And say to him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. The Lord did the same to us. He sent disciples to us and told us in this age, The time is at hand. I want to keep the Passover with you in your house. It's exactly the same. And the disciples did it. Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. You see, no matter how sacred the sands are in this life, the grounds we're dealing with, the devil will always poke something in there. That's just the life that we're living, friends. It's always going to be like that. We just have to accept it. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goes, as is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? I said, you'd have people living in sin, friends, and I think nobody knows what's going on. But the Word knows where you are. The Word knows exactly what you're doing. And he sat there and he says, Master, is it I? Not knowing that Jesus knew the very soul of the man and all that he was doing. And Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it with you, new with you in my Father's kingdom. Amen. May the Lord bless the communion service.
Lord, you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Oh, 'cause you are Alpha and Omega. Oh, we worship you, O Lord. You are worthy.
Oh, you are worthy, Lord.
You are Alpha
and Omega.
Oh, you
You are Alpha.
You are Alpha
and Omega.
We worship you.
Turn your eyes, look full in the light of His glory and grace.
Since let's read John, the book of John. Let's come to foot washing, wash one another's feet. Let's not forget to the real redeemed, you're washing Jesus' feet tonight. Because Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And Jesus said, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. But friends, sometimes we really don't appreciate that. Somebody will come, feel burdened to visit you in your home, invite you to their home. They'll feel led to say something to you. No, the Lord will really come. There'll be a blessing there. Sometimes you don't realize that is God speaking to you.
Amen.
Absolutely God speaking to you. It really is. That is the supernatural working of God. And sometimes if you just discern it and recognize, but Lord, you're dealing with me here. What a difference it would minister inside of our lives. John chapter 13. Let's just get right to the verses we want to read from verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet.
Hallelujah.
For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So friends, really happy to wash one another's feet tonight. We just ask the sisters to come this side, brothers to come this side, and may God bless you as you wash one another's feet.
Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem. In that rock I will hide. In that shadow I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in that rock I will hide. In that rock I will hide. In the shadow I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in that rock I will hide. In that rock I will hide. In that shadow I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in that rock I will hide.
Just before we sing one more song, just to announce that tomorrow, main service, we've got Brother Wilmore's brothers visiting us tomorrow. So he confirmed it last week, Brother Titch. So we're glad he's coming. He's a minister in Brother Chikosi's church, so he's going to be taking service for us tomorrow morning, which is a wonderful thing. So we'll have our normal Sunday school, 9:30, adult Sunday school, and then Brother Tichuana Chininga will be preaching for us tomorrow. So let's keep that in prayer. If the Lord sends somebody our way, there's always a reason.
Amen.
And you get what you expect, so let's expect good things tomorrow. Let's sing one more song, then we'll ask Brother Francois to dismiss us in a word of prayer. Let's remember them that aren't here. There's many people working different places. Let's pray. You know, it would be so wonderful one day if everybody could be in the house of the Lord at the same time. I'm just longing for that day, you know, with shifts and different things. How nice if the whole family gathered together. How wonderful. Maybe tomorrow will be the day. We pray for that by the grace of God.
Not what I ought to be, I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be, I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be.
Lord, give me strength.
Lord, give me strength as I run this race, to stay on the path no matter what I face. Jesus Christ in my heart, I feel a change growing from the start. Who can bring an ending out of the unclean? None but Jesus Christ, calling on the sea. Lord, make me anew. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be.
I'm not what I ought to be.
I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be.
And
I feel in my life it's a two-horse race, the black and the white. Lord, I must keep pace. Who will win this race? The choice is yours, one you feel the most. He who began a good work in you is faithful to finish. His word is true. Let him in your heart. Lord, have your way. I'm not what I
Lord, what I ought to be.
Want to be
what I want to be.
I'm not
what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be.
Father, once again,
hallelujah,
we come tonight,
yes, Lord,
to thank you,
amen,
for your love, yes, and your mercy toward us, Father.
Amen.
If you could look at the big people of this world, the president, Father, when they, amen, invite one another, they will put a red carpet, Father,
amen,
that they could meet, Father.
Amen.
And we know, Father, you have honored us with something.
Amen,
you have,
Lord,
put the red carpet, which is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
that way that it didn't have any merit, Father. But you have laid down the blood, oh Father,
yes,
that,
Lord,
you shall accept us. That's why we thank,
hallelujah,
you. Because when,
amen,
we were enemy, when we didn't have any desire,
amen,
to come unto thee, Father,
yes, Lord,
you make it away, Father.
Amen.
That's why we thank you for that, Father.
Amen.
And your prophet says, when you take the communion with the right attitude, Father,
yes, Lord,
there's healing of the body,
amen,
and,
yes,
the healing,
Lord,
of the soul,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
And we,
yes,
believe,
Lord,
tonight,
yes,
we have taken it with the right attitude, Father,
amen,
and believing that the power that come with the blood, Father,
yes,
will,
Lord,
do the work inside of our life. Father, at this moment, we want you to take control,
yes,
of our life, that,
amen,
you shall dwell inside of our heart, Father,
amen,
because the scripture says you are not dwelling in the house that was built by man,
yes,
but you dwell in the house that you yourself, you are the builder of it, Father,
amen,
and,
amen,
you created us that we shall be your tabernacle,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
That's why we ask you that you shall dwell inside of our heart, Father,
amen,
and we accept it tonight that we have been washed, Father,
hallelujah,
and we have been purged, Father,
amen,
by taking these symbols, the element, Father,
amen,
but there is life behind these things, Father,
amen,
and we believe that life is upon us tonight,
yes,
Father,
Lord, yes,
how do we do, we want to dwell upon the word that was preached tonight,
yes,
Father, that we want all to discern the body, oh Father,
yes,
because,
Lord,
Paul himself says, know no man according to the flesh,
amen,
but know,
yes,
all man according to the spirit,
hallelujah,
Father, and we,
amen,
want to know one another according to,
yes,
the spirit,
Lord,
Father,
hallelujah,
because,
yes,
we, Lord, didn't gather here because under any man name, Father,
amen,
but we gather here under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
Father,
Lord,
help us to get where you want us,
hallelujah,
to get, Father,
yes,
and help us,
yes,
Father, spiritually,
yes,
speaking,
amen,
that we shall open our eyes, spiritually speaking, Father,
yes,
and we shall see behind the veil, Father,
amen,
that is,
hallelujah,
not just my brother, is not just the priest, is not just my sister,
amen,
but is God behind the veil,
hallelujah,
Father.
Yes,
remember,
Lord,
the story, Father, the prophet tells us about that young man, Junior, Father,
amen,
that wanted to see God in a skin,
yes,
that was,
hallelujah,
speaking to his mother, Father,
amen,
and how we delight that God has changed now.
Amen.
God is dwelling in his body, Father,
amen,
and we,
amen,
are,
amen,
God, we are veiling God, Father,
amen,
in the simplicity,
yes, Lord, yes,
of,
Lord,
thy word, not the,
amen,
way we feel, but the way you would say, so,
yes,
Father, and,
Lord,
we want to believe the way you would say, so, Father,
amen, yes,
Father, forgive our shortcoming, Father.
Please, Lord,
our trespass and our sin, Father.
Amen.
Where we have failed one another, Father,
yes,
we,
Lord,
ask you that you shall forgive us,
please,
Father.
Lord.
When we leave this place, Father, let be a permanent change inside,
yes,
of our heart, Father.
Amen.
When we come tomorrow morning, let it be a testimony, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We are needy people, as you serve to preach to, Father.
Amen.
All of us, we have many things in our heart, Father.
Amen.
Many requests, Father.
Yes.
We are depending on thee.
Yes.
Because you,
yes,
our,
yes,
only,
yes,
trust and the hope.
Amen.
We trust it only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and we,
Lord,
know that under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
amen,
there's a healing of the soul.
Hallelujah.
There's a healing of the body.
Yes.
There's a solution to every problem,
yes,
Father.
Lord,
because,
yes,
each,
Lord,
problem that meets you in the day of your flesh, Father, had a solution, Father.
Hallelujah.
And you the same in the day of your spirit, Father.
Yes.
And we have met with you tonight, Father.
Amen.
We don't want to come back with,
hallelujah,
our burden, Father.
Amen.
We want to feel that our burden are lifted. Tapu, Father.
Hallelujah.
Father, help us, Father,
please,
to have that faith of God, Father.
Yes.
That we shall have full trust in thy word, Father.
Yes,
because the prophet said the best way to take God is to take God by his word, Father.
Amen.
And we want to take you by your word.
Yes.
You say that everything you shall ask in my name, it shall be given unto thee, Father.
Yes,
and we have asked many things, Father.
Amen.
Let it be given to us, Father.
Yes,
a congregation
Lord.
Like this will not ask anything wrong, Father.
Amen.
If we ask something, that is your desire, Father.
Yes,
because there is a deeper calling to the deeper, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, as we want to depart from this place, let the angel of the Lord
please,
shall
Lord.
Go before us, Father.
Amen.
And protect us on the road, Father.
Yes, Lord.
The same way you brought us in the church, Father.
Please, Lord.
And go with us, Father. And tomorrow morning when we come here, Father, we say that it was good to be in the house of the
yes, Lord.
And
yes,
anoint Lord. The minister that you're going to use
Lord.
Tomorrow, Father.
Amen.
Because each time when we come here, we want to receive something from thee.
Yes,
something
Lord.
That will make us a better Christian.
Please,
something
Lord.
That will give us a strength from F to glory, Father,
Amen.
That we will walk with assurance.
Please,
surely you, the one that started the work in us, Father,
yes.
you have more than enough power to finish the work. That's why we surrender ourselves tonight,
yes.
that you shall finish the work that you have started inside of our life,
Amen.
Father.
Amen.
Make us together, Father. That no race, Father, will be able to divide us, Father.
Please, Lord.
You know, oh, Father,
yes,
that when
Lord.
The pyramid was made, Father, the prophet said that those stones, there was no race that could be inside there.
Yes,
and we know that the pyramid is the type of the bride, Father.
Yes, Lord.
When you are making the bride, Father, there's no race that can go in between
yes,
the stone. And so, Father,
yes,
we thank you, Father.
Amen.
You the cornerstone, Father.
Yes.
Come down inside of our heart, Father,
Amen.
And make the building complete,
Amen.
Father.
Yes,
not
Lord.
By multiplying word, Father, but you look at the sincerity of our heart, Father.
Amen.
And putting my heart together with the saints in this place, Father,
Amen.
We ask you that thy will shall be done in each of us
yes,
life.
Lord.
And the glory honor will given unto thee, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We commit all at thy hand and we ask you that you shall renew search to thy servant, Father,
Please,
that you have used tonight,
Amen.
That he has put himself aside, Father,
yes.
to wait upon thee, Father.
Amen.
And you have given something, Father, that you shall help us, Father.
Amen.
Let those things, Father, produce the fruits of the Spirit inside of our life, Father.
Amen.
Father, we ask, we thank you for all and we commit the remaining of everything at thy hand in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's sing one more before we dismiss. Let's sing that song. We're justified. Justified. Amen. Amen. And then may God grant us traveling mercies. Amen.
I was sitting alone and wondering about what I'm supposed to do. I deny the times I made mistakes, I can't hide from him in you. But I knew that deep within my soul, I felt sorry, honest I do. I just cried and said, forgive me, Lord, forgive me again with you. Justified, I'm justified. You have not done it. In the first place, you're justified. 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 You have not done it. In the first place, you're justified. So often I'm discouraged when I count the times I fall. 'Cause he promised I'll be victorious when I know I'm not at home. Then I heard an eagle scream, and its voice quickened my soul. He said, you've not done it in the first place, you're justified.
Hallelujah.
Justified. Justified. You have not done it in the first place, you're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place, you're justified.
He looked at your perfect picture without spot, spot or wrinkle. He didn't look at you where you are now. He looked from eternity. He said you're just trapped in that body. You bypassed your theophany. You have not done it in the first place. You justified.
Hallelujah.
Justified. Justified. You have not done it in the first place. You justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You justified.